Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Tweet at DriveTimeRTE.
Now, a warning that this next report contains some details that some listeners and younger ears may find distressing. The OMA inquiry team has said that it expects to sign a memorandum of understanding with the Irish government in March over the disclosure of sensitive material that it may hold about the 1998 atrocity. Today was the final day of commemorative hearings and the last evidence session of 4 weeks of often emotional testimony. Our Northern correspondent, Conor McAuley, was at the inquiry and he joins us now. Conor, what can you tell us about this memorandum of understanding?
Good evening, Sarah. Well, the reason that the families wanted disclosure of sensitive information that may be in files in Dublin and elsewhere is that they believe it may hold the key to claims that have been swirling around for years that the 1998 bombing that claimed 29 lives, including a mother pregnant with twins, could have been prevented. The reason they think that is because the bomb car was stolen in the Republic, the bomb was built and loaded in the Republic, the bombers came from the Republic and returned there afterwards. So to that end, the OMA families have been trying to get assurances that potentially sensitive documents will be produced and that witnesses from organisations like An Garda Síochána or the Irish Intelligence Services will give evidence. Now, the Irish government has said in recent times that it won't be found wanting when it comes to cooperation with the OMA inquiry, but thus far, really, until today, we'd had no indication of what that actually meant. Now, today we learned at the last day of the commemorative hearings here in OMA, as you said, that following talks between the OMA inquiry team and the authorities in Dublin, they're close to signing what was described as a memorandum of understanding on cooperation with the inquiry. And Paul Graney, QC, who's counsel to the inquiry, he laid out the details of what that might potentially look like.
Written observations were provided by the inquiry team to the Irish government on the draft memorandum of understanding last week. Our belief, the inquiry team's belief, is that the outstanding issues between the inquiry and the Irish government on a framework for disclosure have narrowed. We will not preempt the detail of the memorandum of understanding while a substantive response is awaited, and further information will be provided to all core participants as soon as possible. Our current understanding is that the Irish officials intend for the memorandum to be signed in March, subject to the approval of their government.
That's Paul Graney, KC, counsel to the OMA inquiry, speaking this afternoon. And the inquiry also heard from survivor Rodney Patterson this afternoon. What did he describe to the inquiry?
Yes, Mr. Patterson was among a number of survivors who gave evidence to the final day of the commemorative hearings today. Rodney is a fitness fanatic. He'd been up the town that day to buy a new exercise bike and get his hair cut, just normal Saturday stuff, when he was caught up in the security alert. Now, he was evacuated from the building which he was in, and I think, as many people will know at this time, people were evacuated away from the OMA courthouse where the authorities believed the bomb had been left. But in fact, it was at the completely opposite end of the town from the courthouse, and that's unfortunately where many of those people who were being evacuated found themselves congregating. Rodney described an unmerciful bang and a huge pressure wave and a lot of heat. That was the way he put it. He put his hands up to his eyes, he said at one stage, and he felt his eyeballs bulging against the palms of his hands. He actually thought his eyes, he said, were going to come right out of his head. He couldn't breathe. He said the pressure wave sucked the oxygen out of his body. The friend he was with was blown through a shop window. Everything went black. He said he couldn't understand what was going on. It looked like a different world. And when he came to, there were bodies everywhere, including at his feet. And he described how he was still dealing with the psychological impact of his experience that day, and he still hates crowds and big occasions.
It changed my life forever, I found it. In the years after it, or even months and years after it, I found it maybe a bit difficult to mix with people. I couldn't sit in a restaurant unless it was near a door or the corner of the restaurant, where you could get away quickly. I didn't like to be among people. Crowds of people puts me off. To this day, I can't do it. If we go out for a meal or a wedding, I have to maybe leave early or enjoy a wedding, enjoy music. I can't stay to the end. I have to be near doors. I have to get out quickly if need be. There was this merciful bang, and everything felt warm. The air started to feel warm, and I remember my eyes starting, I thought they were swelling up, so I put my hands against my eyes like this, and I could feel them pushing again, the palms of my hands. I thought my eyes were coming out.
That is OMA survivor Rodney Patterson giving evidence at the inquiry this afternoon. Conor, what happens next with the inquiry?
Well, the purpose of this inquiry, sir, really, is to establish whether the 1998 atrocity could have been prevented by the UK authorities, whether there were, in fact, intelligence failings that might have allowed the authorities to thwart the bombers. The focus, though, of the last 4 weeks has been to put the dead and the injured, those both physically injured and mentally injured, at the heart of the inquiry. So the commemorative element of the hearings has now ended after 4 weeks. The inquiry will now resume in June, when we will see what are called the core participants. Now, they are people like the bereaved families, the injured, the UK government, the PSNI, and the then RUC Chief Constable Sir Ronnie Flanagan, all set out their positions in detailed statements. And that's before we get into the testing of the evidence around that key question about whether or not the bombing, which claimed all those lives that sunny Saturday in August 1998, could in fact have been prevented.
Our Northern correspondent Conor McCauley, thank you very much.